Hello again, everyone. I just want to say a massive thank you to everyone that's liked, shared, subscribed, and just helped me get my message out there to try and help people understand why knife crime has to stop. And, you know, without you guys standing tall and sharing my message to help each other, this would all be a waste of time. My brother's death would have been a waste of time. It would have been for nothing. And I definitely don't want that. Putting my last video up really took more courage than actually speaking about it in the first place, because it's hard, you know. In 4 years, I've never spoke about anything to do with my feelings towards what happened to my brother, and the video was definitely a hard one. It took a lot out of me, but it took more out of me actually putting it out for everyone else to hear or see. It's a hard one to explain, because, like, unless it happens to you, and I don't want it to happen to anyone else, but those that it has happened to will fully understand what I'm saying. And I'm hoping that what I say to you guys is getting the message into you that even if you're not a part of this life, knife crime affects you. No matter how or which way you look at it, you are affected by knife crime, because it's in the community. Like I said in my last video, you know, anyone that is living in a community or in this world is affected by knife crime, whether you like it or not. You know, today I'm going to talk to you about some of the next things that happened after all this happened to us as a family. There was the parts where you had to, even though we knew it was my brother that was murdered, we still had to do a thing called identify the body. This was something I never thought I would ever have to do in my lifetime. You know, you see it on the movies and you just, so the day we had to go and identify my brother's body, so I went down to funeral place early to prepare myself for seeing my brother not breathing, not laughing, cold, in a hospital gown, laid out on a metal tray. I went in first, like, my mum, my stepdad and my sisters, they come down as well. And I'm not saying I'm the toughest one, but I'm the one that's the strongest in my family, mentally. And I asked if I can go in first. I said, yeah, like, I'm not going to sit there and say no. I remember the police officer. She was there. We're at the hospital. And she was there. And she took us down to the morgue. We went in. I remember standing at the door. Funniest smell in the air. It was, I've never ever smelled that before. Never. is so different. I remember the police officer, lady called Pauline, it was the same lady that was there on the night that told us. And she said to me, "Are you ready?" I nodded yeah, but in my head I was like, "Are you fucking serious? Am I ready? Am I ready to see the most powerful man I have ever known, who brought me up, made me the man I am, taught me everything, ride a bike, roller skates, cooking dinner, ironing my clothes. This man taught me everything. Am I ready to see him lifeless?" But the words come out of my mouth totally different to what I was thinking. I was thinking, "Get the fuck out of here. Am I ready? Are you fucking kidding?" I just said yes. Nodded. The door opened. You walk into this room, it's no bigger than a... like, you probably fit 15 people in there. And there he was. There was no cover in front of him, no great unveiling, no music in the background playing quietly, no candles lit, just there. Dead. Nothing. Just a shell, just a body. No blinking under this in your sleep, no sound of breath. Silence. I remember Pauline, the police officer, touched me on the shoulder and said, "Are you okay? Do you want to go outside?" I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave him. I was thinking to myself that I'll stay as long as I can. Because as soon as I'm gone, they're going to stuff me back in the fridge. Keep him out. Keep him warm. But no, I can't, because he has to go back in there to stay correct, like... Because if he doesn't, his skin, everything starts rotting. Selfish. Selfish of me. Seeing a man that done so much for you as a child... When I was helpless and I didn't know nothing, and he was there to show me the way and teach me. When it was my turn for me to do something back for him, should have been when he's old and he can't do nothing himself. It should have been me helping him put his slippers on and getting out of a chair. Taking the mick out of him because he can't get up off the floor. But in my head, I'm sitting there staring at him. And there's nothing there. I can't help him. And there's nothing I can do. I hope that the people that did this eventually get to watch these videos. And when they watch them, I hope it really, really guts them. Because you stole so much from me and my family. And I believe that you did not have these external thoughts about what happens afterwards to the family after I killed this person. I believe that there's no way in this world that you would have thought once about how long-term your actions would affect so many people afterwards. I bet all you thought about was your reputation and about how people will respect you more on the streets afterwards, which makes you a dumb fuck, because anyone knows that if you stab someone and you kill them, you ain't on the streets anymore. You're in jail where you fucking belong. They didn't just kill my brother that day. They killed every single one of us. Because none of us are the same as what we used to be. I know I'm not. After I clarified with the police, which they already knew anyway, that that was my brother laying there cold on a metal tray, I had to go and get my mum and my sisters. And I had to bring them into the room. My mum was saying to me, "How does he look? How is he? How is he?" I'm sitting there thinking, "What do you mean, how is he? Like, he's still alive. Like, we're just going to go visit him at, like, boarding school or jail or something, you know? Like, how is he?" I know that when she walked in the room, she wanted everyone to go, "Surprise, we're only playing." But that wasn't the case when she walked in the room. Because as soon as she walked in that room, she had her head down, didn't want to look. She just didn't want to look. Her head was down. These are long-term things that will fuck me up forever. Just playing this stuff over in my head is just, like, visually, I can see it. Every single time I think about it, it's there. Watching her go in the room with her head down. She's gone in and I've got her by her arm. And I'm guiding her like she's in like some dark room and she can't see where she's going, you know, trying to touch stuff, but it's not. She's got her eyes closed because she doesn't want the reality to be visually there. So she closes her eyes, hoping that it's not real. So I guide her into the room. I walk her towards her firstborn child. For her to open his eyes. And he's not there greeting her back with a hug like he normally would do. She dedicated her life to all of us, hoping that we will be there to see her off at the end. And there on that metal tray, cold, still, lifeless, is her firstborn child. Imagine that. Put yourself in that position where the child that you've given birth to, you carried, helped him grow. And then to watch him go. I see all this firsthand. I witnessed it all. And I do every single day. Still. She breaks out crying. I'm not talking the same crying as what she did on the night she found out. This crying was different. This crying was extra. Because it was real. Like it was real, real emotions, raw. Imagine yourself just for a second. Especially if you have children. Just for a split second. And I pray it never happens to you. But just sit there and think of how you would cry. If it was your firstborn. Or your baby. Laying on that cold metal tray. And if you can imagine that. You can imagine that. And you've got a knife in your trousers, your bag, your coat. Take that knife out, put it back in the drawer, and never pick it up again. And if you still carry a knife around after you've imagined that, then I feel sorry for everyone that surrounds themselves in you. I hear all the time that I carry knives for safety. I carry knives because everyone else carries knives. And that's why we're in the position we're at now. That's why people are being stabbed instead of being punched. I'm not sitting there saying punch people instead. I'm just saying I'd rather you punch people instead of stabbing them. At least that way there's some comeback from that. You can live another day. So can the other person. Families carry on as normal. You get to enjoy your Christmases, birthdays, anniversaries that are different to the day that you died is now the new anniversary that everyone hates. Birthdays no longer celebrated. Think about who you are as a human and what you will actually leave behind. Because for 4 years, my mum, my family has put flowers every Tuesday outside my shop, tied it to a lamppost. Every single anniversary, birthdays, Christmas, we light candles. That's all we leave behind. If you haven't done anything great within your life, as much as made someone smile, laugh, made them feel special, then no one's lighting a candle for you. No one's putting flowers out for you. Because being a bad man is more important than putting a smile on someone else's face. You're going to be forgot. Or if you are going to be remembered, it's not going to be in a good way. Tell me that's a legacy you want to leave behind. Tell me everything that you do on road is worth that. Everything you're doing right now that is criminal, that can cause harm, death, or the rest of your life in jail, telling me that's worth it. Spent a bit of time in the room at the morgue at the hospital. Family members slowly coming in, each one crying. I stand in the corner. I see everyone. Are you alright? Are you alright? Are you alright? I'm thinking to myself, stop asking these fucking questions. Are you alright? Of course I'm not alright. Of course they're not alright. Why are you asking if you're alright and you're standing there and someone you love is so important to you and your family is just laying there dead? But the more you think about it, like, what else can you say? There is no right thing to say. Only wrong. And you hate everyone for saying it, but you can't help it. I just want him to get up off of that bed. Give me a hug and say everything's going to be all right. But I know that's never going to happen. Sorry for the long bits of silence, but it's hard. It's hard to tell you this because I'm replaying it in my head to be able to get this message out there. And I'm not telling you for pity. I'm not telling you to make you all feel sorry for me. The reason why I'm doing this is because I don't want anyone else to go through what we've gone through. Like many other families out there that have lost someone from ages ridiculously young to however old. I want you to listen to my story and I want you to think. Think about what it is that you're doing. Because I know that each person that watches this will know somebody that carries a knife, has a knife, used a knife, or even knows someone that knows someone that's got a knife. And I'm hoping that you watch this and you try and drum it into them, even if you pass them across this YouTube video and just say to him, watch this, because this is what you could be doing to somebody else's family. I got a nod from the people at the morgue saying, like, that's it. Because Dean has to go back in the freezer. So it doesn't change his look that much. didn't know that was why they wanted. When he's nodded at me, it's like, felt like we was only in there for 10 minutes. My mum's not let go of him. She's just holding him. His hand. She's got her hand on top of his hand. And his arm, rubbing his arm. My baby. Oh, not my baby. And I've done that voice because that's exactly what she sounded like. It was croaky. It was just low. But it had just... I went up to her, helped put my hand on her shoulder and said, "Mum, it's time for him to go back. We've got to go." She cries, man, so much. I didn't think it was possible to have that many tears. But they just kept flowing. And coming and coming and coming. My face was all puffed up. Bloodshot eyes. Sisters hung onto my mum. She's crying. She won't let go of him. She's got a grip on his gown. No, 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 no. No. I'm not going. I can't leave him here. I'm not going. Mum, you have to. You have to. Where are they going to take him? Where are they going to put him? All questions that I know the answer for, but I can't say. They're putting him back in the fridge, Mum. I grabbed hold of her. I put my arms around her. I whispered in her ear. I said, "Mum, they're putting him back to bed." I remember biting so hard, my teeth clenched together. Because I knew I was lying. He's not going to bed. He ain't asleep. He's dead. And the scumbags that took him and made all of this happen to my family. I wish they was there. I wish there was a camera on the wall that could have a live commentary to show them the pain of us as a family going through this. My mum said, crying, "I'll wait here and watch them take him away." I'm like, what? I'll wait here and watch him take him away. Like they were going to wheel him off to like a double bed or something. Or I'm not sure what she had in her head, the illusion of where she's gonna watch him go to, you know, because as soon as they open them curtains, directly behind them curtains are tables where other people are laying on and fridges lined up like books in a library against the wall, like you're just opening the door and sliding them back in, you know, they're not even coming off the tray that he come out in. Think fast. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think, what can I say to her to help her be able to leave the room from her firstborn son? How can I get her out of the room so she can't see exactly where he's going? I'm trying to secure my family at the whole time. I'm hurting. And I just want to scream. Do you think I want him to go back there with other people and just be put back in a fridge? No, I want to take him home. I want to take him home, put him on a sofa. Tell him I love him. I say, Mum, he'll be there for a little bit. Once we leave, they put like special stuff in the air to keep him there to make sure he's all right. He will be all right though, won't he? Tell me he will be all right. He's safe now, Mum. No one can hurt him anymore. Do you promise me? What? Like, what do I say to that? What do I say to a woman that's just witnessed her son, her firstborn son, laying dead there in the morgue? Do you promise me he's going to be safe? I look at her as peaceful as I can. I kiss her on the forehead. And I say, I promise you he's safe now. To anyone watching this video, please, for the sake of any other human being in this world, put down your knife.
One, two, three,